Friends, welcome. In this unit, we are going to be thinking about intersex people. And part of our goal here is just to have a better understanding of what characterizes intersex people, to get a sense for the broad folks who would fit under this umbrella, and also to think about how do we as Christians reflect on what it means to be intersex, and to make sure that as we're talking about and thinking about how our sexuality connects with God's story, that we are aware of what this means for who you are, if you're an intersex person, or what it means for those of us who are called to be the family of God together with intersex people. And part of what we want to keep in front of our minds as we walk through this is that we are called to be the family of God, that when we recognize what it means to be the family of God, we realize it includes Jew and Gentile, male and female, intersex, that we constantly have this danger of allowing our human identities, different dimensions of who we are as human beings, set us off or divide us from one another. But that part of what Jesus does in creating this new family is it breaks down the barriers that we might otherwise put up. That part of what Jesus does is he doesn't destroy those identities of Jew and Gentile or slave and free or male and female or intersex. But part of what happens is those identities do not ultimately define us, but that Jesus and our identity in him as someone who's loved by him is what ultimately defines us. And so we come together as the family of God, called to love and care for each other in important ways so we can show the love of Jesus to the world around us. And so in this first video, I just want to take a little bit of time to unpack and understand what it means to use this terminology of intersex. And so this term is a general term used for a variety of conditions in which a person is born with a reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't seem to fit with the typical definitions of male or female. That's how the Intersex Society of North America defines what it means to be intersex. More recently, the medical community has shifted to language of disorders of sex development, partly because intersex is maybe a little bit more vague or a little bit confusing. The notion here is that we want to be clear that there's simply something that goes wrong in the process of development so that a person who is classified as intersex or as DSD, so that there's something that's not exactly quite normal there. Now, again, what do we mean when we say normal? Part of what we have to recognize here is when we think about the biology of how we develop in the womb and beyond, that what makes us male and female is actually a combination of factors, that it includes both our chromosomal makeup, that when we think about individuals being, maybe this is a flashback to science class, but a woman, a female, typically is an XX chromosome, whereas male is XY chromosomes. But it's not only these chromosomes, but it's also the fact that that part of in the development process is that the gonads of the young baby in the womb are affected and become either testes or ovaries, and that the external genitalia develops as well. In a normal presenting female, you have the vagina and the clitoris. In a normal presenting male, you have the development of the penis, and that it's the external genitalia, the penis, the vagina, the clitoris, it's the internal reproductive organs, the ovaries, the testes, and it's these chromosomes, the XX or XY, that are all coordinating together, and that this is a developmental process, especially in the womb. This is something where over the course of especially the first few months in the womb, that the baby is exposed to certain factors that cause development. And so if something doesn't happen in sort of the normal sequence, there can be disruption to that. And that's why, medically speaking, these are called disorders of sex development, that there's a recognition that sort of the normal unfolding, the normal growth and development pattern there, something goes wrong in that sequence. And so just a couple of examples of how this could look. Now, I should say, I'm going to give some of these examples, and these are examples of what I would call more noticeable, more obvious cases of disorders of sex development. That actually, doctors point out that probably actually close to 98-99% of people who have some sort of disorder of sex development, they might not even know that this is something that they have. For example, it might surface in infertility in their life later on, that something is not quite right internally with the internal reproductive organs, but it may be something that is never really known. And so, you know, we're not talking about here, sometimes people think when we talk about intersex that we're talking about maybe people who have dimensions of both external genitalia, tend to think of extreme cases, but most folks who are diagnosed with DSD, and even many who aren't, never, you know, this is not something that is necessarily a significant dimension of their life. Like I said, for many, it may not even be something that's fully known or recognized. But there are a small percentage of folks for whom there are some drastic effects, some more dramatic effects on the development. And so let me give just a couple examples of what this could look like. For example, you could have a person whose chromosomes are XY, in other words, that would be the typical male chromosomes, and testes, but external genitalia do not align. In other words, there's a lack of what we would typically consider normal development of the external genitalia, of the penis, of the testicles. And so in cases like this, there are there's clearly some significant external differences, and so understanding and being able to diagnose exactly what's going on here is important for doctors, especially during the initial hours after birth. A couple examples of how this could look. One is complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, and probably the most well-known androgen is testosterone. And so if you think about, you know, part of what this name is trying to get at, maybe in this very technical way, is that in the womb, a typical XY, which again would typically be presenting as a male, that an XY baby in the womb is exposed usually to a larger amount of testosterone. This is part of what causes the baby to develop with both internal and external reproductive system as you typically would see. But in this case, part of what happens is that because of this insensitivity to androgen, that the baby is XY, in other words, would typically develop as a male, but ends up presenting both externally, but even in some cases internally in terms of the reproductive system, would present as female. And so part of what you start to recognize here, if you understand the biology and if you do the reading for this section, you see this, is that really part of what does make us male and female typically is this range, this series of unfolding events in our development. Another example would be, this would be not quite as extreme because it's partial androgen insensitivity syndrome, that there's that this again would be an XY individual who has some sensitivity to testosterone, but maybe not as much as a normal baby boy, that there's a spectrum of male to female external genitalia, that in this case it might be difficult for doctors initially to see if this is a child that would present and appear to have a shorter penis or a longer clitoris, and some development of the testes would be underdeveloped or maybe a little bit more developed, and so initial identification would lead the doctors to say there's some kind of disorder here. Things aren't exactly as we would expect, But trying to understand exactly what's going on would be part of what they would try to analyze and diagnose and figure out here. Another example is a condition called congenital adrenal hyperplasia, CAH. And in XX persons, again, this would be a baby who would typically develop into a female, but it produces a spectrum of external genitalia. So again, maybe some ambiguous genitalia in terms of the penis or clitoris and some development there. And so, you know, part of what we recognize here is that our biology is complex and that as you start to understand the development of children, that there is there are a number of different places in the process where one of these disorders of sex development can crop up. And so it's important to understand, again, that, you know, when you think about somebody who is an intersex person, there is this question of identity. If you think about how much of our identity is tied up in being male or female, oftentimes, and to have to walk through this process and wrestle with your identity and your biology, you know, that's a big deal. That's somebody who needs our support and love and care, not first and foremost condemnation, especially because we're talking here about biology. We're not talking about somebody's life choices, if you will, but we're thinking about the actual biology. One other example of this, and this is something we actually see in some distinct genetic populations around the world. In the Dominican Republic, there are a group of folks called Guevedoches, and this is actually, there's you can see the more technical name for it here, but part of what that's referring to is these are actually individuals who are born and who initially appear to be girls, and so they present that way at birth. But what's fascinating about this group is that at puberty, when their body begins to change, what happens is that they actually go through the process that most men go through in the womb, where there is the development of the external genitalia, where the testes drop down and the penis forms. And so you know, these are, again, individuals who, because of that, experience that not in the womb, but experience it as they go through puberty. And so part of the important thing here, I think, for Christians is just to be educated and just to realize the complexity of the medical reality, of the biological reality that people wrestle with. I don't know about you, but unfortunately, I think sometimes Christians have their heads in the sand a little bit, and we want everything just to be simple. We want everything to be straightforward. And because of that, we can often then leave to the side or make intersex people feel unwanted or unwelcome because there's complex biological questions that arise here. And so I think it's important that we are willing to understand the biology and understand the struggle that it is for parents and of children with DSD and for the people themselves who have to walk this journey. Right? They need us to be the family of God to them. I do also want to just briefly highlight, make sure it's clear, this distinction between transgender and intersex. That when you talk about a transgender person, you're typically talking about somebody who doesn't have any kind of disorder in terms of their sex development. That they're biologically, it's clear that they are male or female. But that what we're talking about with transgender person is somebody whose gender identity doesn't align with their biological sex. Whereas when we talk about intersex people, we're talking about people who, in terms of their actual biology, there is some ambiguity or lack of clarity, something that has happened in the process there that has affected their biology. And so with this in mind, it's important, I think, to think, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible speak to intersex people, or how should we understand people who have DSD? What does Scripture say about this? What should that lead us to? And what should be pastoral care for people who are walking that path? And so in the next couple of videos in this unit, we will pick up those questions and process those together. So until next time, blessings.